Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys are frustrated with the Chiefs making it back to the Super Bowl. They'll also discuss their matchup with the Bills and, of course, the refs. They'll also break down the Eagles' convincing win over the Commanders and preview Super Bowl 59. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? We are about to find out. Welcome back to the What Do They Know podcast, championship weekend edition. I got nothing. Nick and Jeff back with you. I'm just super annoyed. I feel like my team lost and they didn't, but you know, Chiefs, Eagles go to the Super Bowl rematch of 2 years ago, Chiefs going for the three-peat. But I'm just annoyed.
I'm over it too. I'm done. Like this is the matchup I felt like everyone kind of suspected was going to happen, but wished it wasn't. And I'm on the same boat. I mean, last week, obviously, when we had our picks, I definitely picked with the heart, hoping to see a matchup of two teams that we don't see too often in the Super Bowl, which is the Commanders and the Bills. But obviously, fate had other ideas and decided to have a repeat of 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I picked the Bills, obviously, because I was sick of the Chiefs. Everybody's sick of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But I genuinely thought they were going to win. Like, and shame on me because I went all season saying, I'm not picking against the Chiefs. I'm not picking against the Chiefs. And then the AFC Championship, I pick against the Chiefs, and they show me why I shouldn't do that.
Right.
But I'm, like, legitimately surprised that the game went the way that it did. So Nick and Jeff back with you. We are separate tonight. Obviously you could probably hear I'm battling a little bit of a head cold, so wanted to make sure Jeff was healthy for his work week. So we will be back in person together recapping the Super Bowl. The worst part about all this, and you can give me your take on it as well. I don't want to persuade you anyway, but like people are already texting me. I'm already seeing it on Facebook. Like, you still think the NFL's not rigged? And there's really not a whole lot more that irritates me. Like, I just think, I'm sorry. I'm going to preface it. If you feel this way, I'm going to apologize in advance. I think that's such a loser's mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you feel like that, you're a loser. Like,
right.
Stop. Stop.
The script is in, boys, and the Chiefs are going back.
here's why. Nobody can answer this question for me. What is the benefit? Nobody wants to see the Chiefs win. What is the benefit for the NFL to rig it? Nobody wants to see the Chiefs win outside of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're rigging it for some underdog that's like an amazing story to come in and take over and win. That's not happening. It's the team that legitimately nobody outside of Kansas City wants to see in the Super Bowl. They're apparently rigging to make that happen. So they're rigging it to make the one team that nobody wants to see make them in the Super Bowl. That's what they're doing. Makes zero sense to me.
It's the villain. villain.
I'm sorry. Like, I legitimately I don't even entertain it for one single second. Not one.
Right.
I'll let you give your take on it.
I mean, obviously, with the Chiefs getting the benefit of the doubt, I mean, the majority of the time when it comes to 50-50 calls, I try to understand the viewpoint of saying it's rigged and whatnot, but it's just gotten to the point where the Chiefs do have a reputation for it. But, I mean, with Patrick Mahomes being as special of a talent as he is, he's kind of earned the right to get some benefit of the doubt calls. Andy Reid's one of the top three best coaches in the NFL. And I mean that team in itself is a well-oiled machine. So unfortunately they just happen to be a really good team who's earned the doubts of 50-50 calls. And it just somehow seems that it becomes scripted in some way that the NFL is just pushing Kansas City down our throats. Obviously the chance for a three-peat, I mean, the NFL writers couldn't have come up with a better script than an NFL 3P for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not even a big market team, to be honest with you. If they're going to do anything, it would probably be like a New York team or an LA team or something like that. But I mean, a Kansas City team, I'm not on the boat of it being scripted. It's just one of those things where it does become an annoyance where Kansas City does get the benefit of the doubt most of the time. Oh,
dude, it's super annoying. Like, I want to go punch a wall right now, the fact that they're in the Super Bowl. Like, I'm livid that we have to watch another Chiefs Super Bowl. Livid. But here's what I'll say, and we can get into Philadelphia and Washington in a little bit. It wasn't much of a game, but the Hail Mary, if you want to call that Xavier Worthy caught in the second quarter. The ball touched the ground, but he had firm, so him and the defender had firm possession of the ball. It didn't move.
My thing with it is Worthy only had one hand on it. How does he have possession of that ball?
Well, here's the thing.
When it touches the ground.
I don't think they're saying that he had possession at that moment. I'm saying at that moment, it was not incomplete because the ball didn't touch the ground. Everything after that, when them fighting for the ball, I think is when Worthy took possession, but it wasn't incomplete because whoever was holding it in that moment, the ball didn't move.
See, so that's where my mind kind of like grinds the gears, because it's like, if no one has possession of that football when it hits the ground.
Somebody did though. You can't tell who.
Well, I'm not gonna. If someone's gonna have possession of the ball, I'm gonna say it's the person with two hands on it, not the guy who has one arm on it and relying on the other person to keep both his hands on it to rely on that being a catch. I'm sorry, but that to me was either an incomplete pass or it was an interception. There's no way it should have been a catch by Worthy, in my opinion.
Yeah, see, I disagree, because everything that happens after that. Like, you see guys fight for the ball and change possession in the air or on the ground all the time. Like, that happens all the time. So for me, that's not even an issue. The issue is, should it have been incomplete before Worthy took it away from whoever it was? No, I don't think it should have been, because by the rule, if the ball doesn't move when it touches the ground, it's not incomplete. So the ball is still considered a complete pass, right? And then they are wrestling around for it, and whatever happens, happens. That's that by the letter of the rule, that's they called it correctly. So again, like, it's confusing. It's a choppy play, but like, we didn't get it wrong.
I would disagree with you, good sir. I think we're on this might be like the first time we're like on a heavy disagreement, because I feel like if you're the Buffalo player who came down with the ball, if you have possession of it, hits the ground and you're maintaining possession, theoretically, you have possession. You're on the ground too, being cut.
He wasn't down yet. That's the whole thing. They were falling and moving all around. It's not like the play was over at the second the ball hit the ground. The play wasn't over. It was still going on. If he was knees on the ground, like being touched, then yeah, the play is over. But it was still actively going on. They were still falling to the ground when that was going on. So the play's not done. So that's the whole thing. And the thing with the fourth down call, I mean, I think he got it. Everybody thinks he got it, but again, show me the angle. Show me the angle that he got it. Show me the angle that the refs could have overturned it. Now, you can make an argument that the ref should have called it correctly to begin with, and that's fair. But it's not like they reviewed it and it was clear as day,
right?
That he got it, and they just said, screw it, we're not going to give him the first down. Like,
right. Yeah.
There was no replay review. That the one that should have showed it, Chris Jones' big head was in the way. So, I mean, there was no definitive angle that showed he got the first down on replay.
Right.
Whether they should have called it correct in the moment, okay, sure. Like, I'll concede that maybe he made the incorrect call, but. I mean, the replay is what the replay is. So, like, I'm going to have to, like, turn off social media and Facebook and Twitter and all these people that are just going to – that say all this stuff, because I'm just over it. I'm equally annoyed that the Chiefs won as I am that I have to freaking defend this crap for another 2 weeks or another calendar year, really.
Right. Yeah, honestly, my biggest issue was with that fourth down play is the tush push that Buffalo kept running. They ran that play like 20 times, and they had to run it twice each time just to get the first down. Like, it's not working.
I was telling Christy, like, they need to stop doing this. It is not working. I'll give Kansas City a ton of credit because, and I mean, Romo noted it early on. He said that they noticed that he always goes to the left. He never went right at all this game, and they stopped him every single time. So, or almost pretty much every single time. So, I'll give the Kansas City defense a ton of props there, but, I got nothing positive to say for this episode. I really don't. I really don't. And it's not even excuse me. It's not even my team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't care, but I'm just so annoyed.
Yeah, we're I'm on the same boat with you. I mean, if you're Buffalo, I'm resigning for like the next 10 years until Patrick Mahomes is done, until he retires. Don't even put me in the league. Unschedule me.
I was thinking as I was pulling all this up, getting ready to call you and do this, legitimately, what is it going to take? What is it going to take for somebody to beat Mahomes? And I hate saying this, but like, I feel like Mahomes is going to have to tear his ACL.
Hmm.
Like, he's going to have, like, that's the only, like,
an injury, huh?
Because not only are they now 3 years in a row, but they're a completely different team. They're a completely different team than they were 3 years ago. They've adapted. They've gone from the gunslinger, like, big play, explosive, exciting team to the tactical, like, 5 yards here, 6 yards here, doing exactly what they need to do. How the Patriots were. Patriots weren't flashy, but they did exactly what they needed to do to win the game. And that's what the Chiefs have now become. So they've been able to completely change the identity of their team over this 3 year run. So that's scary to me that you can win one way and then decide we're going to play a different way and still win and be successful.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure what's going to take. Obviously this is what, their fifth Super Bowl trip in 6 years. The only person in between is Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Yeah.
It's going to take a special year, a special team, maybe an injury too, unfortunately. But like I said, it's
or Andy Reid is or Andy Reid needs to retire. Andy Reid needs to retire. Like one of those two things. Like if Mahomes and Reid are there, I just what's going to change?
there's no point in even playing the AFC side of things anymore.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you've thrown your best shot with Josh Allen. Josh Allen is just he puts up a contending fight. It just seems to never be enough for the guy. And honestly, losing four times in the playoffs to Patrick Mahomes, I'm not sure if Josh Allen even has anything left in the tank to give against the Chiefs anymore. It's unfortunate to say, but yeah, it's tough.
That's what I was just gonna say. Is like mentally, how do you even get up for a game like that anymore? Like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, you're Josh Allen, like, oh, next year's going to be the year. Like, yeah. how do you convince yourself of that? I don't know how you do that. This game is not on Josh Allen. A lot will be talked about with this game. I thought Josh came out extremely, I don't know, nervous, excited, tense, whatever. Like, the old gunslinger Josh was back for the first couple drives. Right. He should have gotten picked off twice in the first drive. He dropped a snap. So he tried to lateral it back on that 2-point conversion. So he made a couple, you know, you could tell he was hyped up in the beginning, but he really settled down, made some phenomenal plays. He didn't run it as much as I expected. But I mean, that last fourth down, I mean, Dalton Kincaid, you got to catch that ball.
Yeah.
What a throw. I mean, I was so frustrated because if you know Steve Spagnuolo, if you watch football, you know that Kansas City is going to blitz. But I think how they blitzed was extremely impressive. And Romo called it right away. He's like, they sent the corner blitz that they hadn't done all night, which I thought was, shout out and kudos to Steve Spagnuolo for not only blitzing, but blitzing in that way, because my initial reaction was like, how are you not prepared for the blitz?
Mm-hmm.
But then you see the way they did it and how the guy came in totally untouched, and Allen made an unbelievable, incredible play, and Dalton Kincaid has just got to catch that ball.
Right. Yeah, no, there. It's tough to say, but he pulled the Mark Andrews of last week.
Yeah. I mean, this one was, I think, a little bit tougher, but yeah, I mean, it's the same sort of situation, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen played his heart out. Like you said, he was a little nerves were running high at the beginning of the game, but he definitely settled down. Honestly, the one thing that disappointed me about the whole play calling with the offense with the Bills was James Cook was not really there in the first half, and they gave him a lot more touches in the second half, and he made Kansas City pay, and he got the ball rolling. He was catching the ball out of the backfield. And to me, that was a missed opportunity, I feel like, in the first half to get James Cook really rolling in the first half, because everything else was just not working to the extent that it should have. I think they definitely needed to rely on James Cook a lot more.
Yeah, and I just read something before we got on here that, you know, I mean, he pretty much dominated the second half. Third quarter was all his. He had that incredible acrobatic touchdown on fourth down. But on the final drive, he didn't touch the ball once.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even on the field.
Yep.
So what are we doing?
Right.
So that was extremely disappointing. All right, let's shift gears here, I guess, for a few minutes. There was another game today, believe it or not.
Where?
Not nearly as exciting. So in the NFC, we already told you the Eagles are moving on. They handily defeated the Commanders. What was it, 55-23.
And
I mean, it was to me, this might be too simplistic, but they were just bigger and more physical. They dominated the offensive line and the defensive line, which is exactly what all the experts said was going to happen, right? This was going to be a reality check for the Commanders. They weren't facing a depleted Lions defense. They were facing the number one defense in the league. And it showed today. I mean, I think with the exception of this last game, the Bills Chiefs game, every single playoff game, the team that's won the playoff, the turnover differential has won the game. With the exception, I think, being the game that we just watched, because the Chiefs actually,
because of course,
yeah, but I mean, the Commanders turned it over, I want to say, four times, all in really bad spots. I mean, a turnover is never, there's never a good time for a turnover, but I felt like almost all of them were at really terrible times in the game.
Yeah, they're all in their own half of the field, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jaden Daniels played, I don't want to say he played great. He played in control. He had poise. The moment wasn't too big for him. Still made some incredible throws. That dart that he threw in the first half to Terry McLaurin that he took on a slant for, I want to say it was like a 33-yard touchdown, was a great throw. Zach Ertz had a renaissance game, had, 10 catches over 100 yards. So he played phenomenal for the Commanders. But at the end of the day, the Eagles were just too much.
Yeah, this felt like kind of a repeat of the Commanders game of last week with Detroit, where they were just causing chaos. It just happened to be the shoe was on the other foot. Instead of causing the turnovers, they were creating the turnovers and giving it away to Philadelphia the entire time. And I mean, their offense is explosive, no doubt about it. And that's what kept them in the game for. Oh, your lights went out. Yeah, but their offense is explosive, no doubt. But I mean, Jaden Daniels still a rookie. Obviously, this is a team that had won four games last year. Obviously, yeah. they have major holes across the roster. It's impressive to get to the NFC Championship after a 4-win season. I mean, you can only build here if you're Washington. Obviously, you know where the holes in your roster are going to be, and that's on defense, I feel like, and preach ball security. every game next year, that's going to be their biggest issue. But I mean, Jaden Daniels, as long as he's there, he should be a special one to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be fun for the next couple of years, Eagles and Commanders. The Cowboys and the Giants, I don't know what they're doing. The Cowboys, side note, Brian Schottenheimer as head coach, where the freak did that come from? Right. But so I think it's going to be the Eagles and the Commanders for the next several years. And excuse me, one thing I'll say, and I've been pretty critical of Jalen Hurts over the last couple weeks and just his inability or unwillingness to throw the ball. And it wasn't that way today. He actually threw the ball. You might have the stats written down. He had close to, what did he have? 250. He had like 250 yards, right?
246.
Yeah. So he, you know, and the last couple of weeks he's been hovering, you know, 150, 170, 175, like throwing as a last resort. And there were some, you know, he got AJ Brown back involved today. So that was one thing that I really have questioned for several weeks now, even before the playoffs, was could they win throwing the ball? And I know they won running the ball, but he looked okay. He looked okay today.
Yeah, I mean, he had three rush TDs. So, I mean, everything they got was basically either Jalen Hurts short touchdown or it was Barkley breaking for the long one. AJ Brown got his touchdown for the postseason, but he wasn't really needed this game. Obviously, the first play from scrimmage for the Eagles was a Saquon Barkley long touchdown, and honestly, that basically set the tone for the rest of the game. Washington, with their first possession, marched down the field with 18 plays, but settled for a field goal. Yeah, it was a great long drive. They converted a couple fourth downs, but as soon as you let that first play go off for Saquon, that was very demoralizing for Washington, and I don't think they ever recovered from that.
No. So, I mean, Eagles, Chiefs, looking ahead, obviously the Chiefs won 2 years ago. It ended on a scripted penalty. I mean, it was a scripted. They knew they were going to throw the flag there. Everybody knew it. But it ended with a last-second field goal. It was a great game. I want to say the Eagles were up the majority of that game, and the Chiefs found a way to come back and win. So, I mean, it'll be a good matchup. I don't really care. I'm just going to be honest. You know, it is what it is. What do you got? You got anything?
We're supposed to be unbiased. I mean, looking at the matchup per se, I mean, if James Cook is presenting the Chiefs problems, I can only imagine the problems Barkley is going to present. Obviously, that's something they're going to have to look at tape in Kansas City to see what holes James Cook was exploiting, and making sure Saquon does not break one, because I feel like he's going to break at least one during the Super Bowl. And I mean, that's our pick for Offensive Player of the Year, Saquon Barkley. Yeah. So that's definitely the matchup to look out for. I think as long as Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over, becomes a game manager, just give it to Saquon. That's going to be your number one draw, number one priority. It's to me, it's definitely going to be a Saquon game.
Yeah, and it's the second edition of the Andy Reid Bowl. Obviously, playing against coaching against his former team. You know, he has the most wins for both franchises, which is just really? Like, I think that's crazy. He has the most coaching wins for the Eagles, and he has the most for the Chiefs. Like, the dude can just coach.
Yeah, that's crazy, because the Chiefs have been around for a very long time.
Yeah, they said it during the game tonight. I was really surprised. But I mean, when it's scripted, you can rack up wins pretty easily.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
I can probably be the winningest coach in Kansas City with this script. Am I right?
You probably could. Nick Hoskins, the winningest coach in Jets history. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
but as far as matchups, that's as much as I got. I honestly don't care for either teams. Obviously, I think everyone knows where we stand with Kansas City. Philadelphia is an experience to be had if you've ever been to Philadelphia.
to put it nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, these fan bases, obviously, they're Kansas City's coming off back-to-back Super Bowls. Philadelphia won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. What, 7 years ago, something like that?
Yeah.
So it's not like these franchises are starving for a Super Bowl, but terms of matchups, it should be an interesting matchup to see. But at the end of the day, it is just going to be a whatever game. It's not. It'll be the most probably the most watched game in history again, as every Super Bowl is these days. I hope it's not either.
I hope it's down. I hope it's like the least watched in 5 years. I really do. I hope it's the least watched in like 5 years, because I'm just so sick of the Chiefs. Like,
we're over it. Yeah.
I'm over it. I feel like, and I mean, how many times have we said this? I feel like on paper, the Eagles should win.
But it's funny because we were saying that the Eagles were like the weakest of the like the top four seeds, top two in every each conference. But yeah, obviously the Eagles have kind of turned it on. Yeah, what do they know?
Yeah. No, but I feel like their ability to your you made a great point. James Cook really thrashed them specifically with like the outside zone run game, and that's that's what Philadelphia lives on. Right. So it should be a horrible matchup for Kansas City, but that just it just doesn't mean anything. Like, it just, the matchups don't matter. Throw it out the window. Throw everything out the window. It just doesn't it doesn't matter. And shout out to it's just impressive. It's just really impressive to me. And I think maybe like tomorrow or later this week I'll be able to like calm down and appreciate what we're witnessing, because I we're gonna look back and say we witnessed Mahomes three-peat, or we witnessed him almost three-peat. Only quarterback that's ever done it, if it ends up happening, right? And so I think that we'll appreciate it later down the line, but right now I could freaking care less. Like,
I don't want to appreciate it. I feel like I mean, yes, like 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, where Mahomes is retired and we have a whole new generation of quarterbacks, yada yada, and when you start pulling up stats where Mahomes is like the leading passer in postseason history or whatever, then yes, we'll be like, yeah, we lived through those days, we saw that, just like how everybody lived through Joe Montana and Steve Young and obviously Tom Brady was a little bit towards our younger days, but we still saw the vast majority of it. But I mean, as you're witnessing, you don't realize how annoying history is when it's the same person over and over again.
Yeah, and I mean, I now understand why for the longest time, I don't think right now they are, but like the late 1990s, early 2000s, people hated the Yankees.
Right? Yeah.
People hate the Dodgers right now. They've only won one, but people hate the Dodgers. People hated the Patriots. Now, I want to ask your recollection of this, because I remember obviously being annoyed by the Patriots. We didn't like them. We hated them. But like, was this dialogue, this whole like, oh, it's rigged, like, was that a thing? Like, I'm genuinely asking. Like, I don't remember every game.
Back then?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember. Well, you also have to think of mind. Social media wasn't really that much of a presence back then with Tom Brady.
Take me back. Because, hey, like, I just think it's like that wasn't a thing. Like, the Patriots won, and the dialogue was they have the best coach and the best quarterback in football. Like, it wasn't like, oh, they, you know, it got rigged. It's a script. It's like, I just feel like nowadays something happens that you don't want to have happen, and it's rigged. Like, people with sports now say it. People with elections now say it. Oh, it was rigged, this and that. Like, dude, you lost. Get over it.
Like, yeah, everything is rigged now. That is true.
If it doesn't go your way, everything's rigged. Like, come on, man. Can we just man up and just take defeat? Like, I'm gonna sound like an old like get off my lawn guy for a minute here, but like, that's literally what's wrong with our generation. Like, something doesn't go our way, and it's because it was rigged, not because we just lost. We didn't make the plays that we needed. We didn't make the plays we needed to make. We had an opportunity to go down and tie the game or win the game with the end of the game drive, but we couldn't do it. It wasn't because of that. It was because it was rigged and it was scripted.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. And my last thing I'll say about this, Evan Cohen, I want to give him his props, because he's said it the best that I've heard somebody say it. And he said it this past Monday. He works for ESPN on Unsportsmanlike. You can go back and listen. I'm literally doing an advertisement for them right now, it sounds like. But he talked about it, and he shares the same sentiment I do. He's like, I'm completely done with this narrative. I hate this narrative. I'm sick of hearing it. And he said it so perfectly. He said, people go into Chiefs games with a confirmation bias, just waiting for something to happen that they can say, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. There's my preconceived notion that this is scripted, that it's rigged, and there's the play that just confirms my thought. Mm-hmm. And he just said it so perfectly and so eloquently that I'm not going to do it justice. But, like, literally, I was in my car driving to work, and I wanted to, like, clap for the dude because he said it so perfectly. And I'm really, really fed up with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's an easy cop out when you don't want to. It's escapism, really. It's like, I don't want to come to terms that my team just got outplayed, outdueled this certain day. And I mean, it is what it is. I mean, these are all athletes. These are all humans. Some days they're going to get the best of you. Some days you're going to get the best of them. It just happens that Kansas City is, more times than not, is going to get the best of their opponent. I mean, that they are the epitome, the class of the NFL right now for a reason. And obviously the whole scripted thing is, to me, is tomfoolery. It's nonsensical. But I think it does show that we do have a generation that does not really accept reality too well.
We are weak. That's the problem. This generation is weak. It makes us for a split second feel better about our situation, the fact that our team lost, and we're heartbroken to say that it was the refs that took it from us, not that we just lost the game.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's my take on it. Feel free to at me. I'm going to clip all this. And I'm going to
clip me, people.
Like crazy this week, because you know what? Come at me. I'm done with it. I don't care. I said it in the beginning. If you think it's scripted, you're a loser. You need to man up, because you can't convince me for one single second. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about all I got.
I got nothing to add. I got nothing to add.
That's about all I got. All right. So we will be back 2 weeks from now to talk about all the rigged plays from
scripted Super Bowl Sunday.
All the scripted plays. No, I truly hope it's a great game. I hope it's a great product. I hope it's the last thing that we have to talk about. Honestly, you want to know what I'm looking forward to the most? Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar?
Halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in some Kendrick Lamar. Let him go longer than he should. That's the part I'm looking forward to with the Super Bowl. So we'll be back. I'll be done with this head cold that I'm fighting. We'll be back in person, and we'll give you a better product than we did tonight, because I feel like all that's gone on for the last 34 minutes is just garbage. Just
rants. Just
yes.
Rants.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we deserve a little rant here and there. Obviously, we started last year ready to talk football, ready to talk all these teams, all these matchups. And it happens to be the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first episode that we've done in our two seasons now that I didn't write a single thing down. I didn't come prepared. I just said, you know what? I'm throwing this laptop on, I'm hitting record, and we're going to go, and we're going to see what happens. So, but yeah, we'll have a real episode for you next in 2 weeks. We'll be back in person, and we will recap Super Bowl 59.
Perfect.
All right.
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to What Did They Know podcast. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets to see future episode details. And don't forget to send in any questions or topics that you want to see the guys discuss in their weekly episodes to come.